Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks. You have Dakota Lone Star here, and this is Cantankerous with a Cause. Today's program I've entitled Who in America Needs Congress? And I've widened the scope, so to speak, to speak today to freedom of religion as defined primarily by the left. Because after all, they are the only ones that can truly define freedom of religion any longer in the public arena or public square, especially as it relates to business ownership and or institutions that by and large are biblical in nature. All right, so who in America needs Congress any longer? We're going to talk about that today. I was actually, I apologize for being just a moment late, inside of 2 minutes late, because I was actually penning my last note and lost track of the time. Oh, imagine that. All right, well, that's okay because I'm not being paid yet for my programming, but we're going to jump into this. We're going to talk a little bit, too, about election fraud, and because I spoke to that at some length during the last program, and I want to give you the call number today. It's 929-477-4090, and we're going to jump into to some of this stuff today. All right, now, you know, if it wasn't bad enough, that beloved, oft-beloved number 44 was about the business of sicking his IRS lapdog on hardworking, responsible business owners in the United States of America. If that weren't bad enough, or wasn't bad enough, rather, because it did take place in the form of the Lois Lerner worm. You'll all remember that. All right, so interestingly enough, do you really think that Hillary Clinton would be any different, if not worse, than the oft-beloved number 44? And interestingly enough, number 44, as history may have it, on the radio, his approval ratings are somehow between 55% and 60%, and I just don't get that now that there's just so many reasons why I don't get that. I think people are just retarded today, for the most part. All right. You know, when I say the word retarded, there's nothing that I mean. I take care of people that are developmentally disabled. That's my day job. That's how I make my living, and I love them as much or more than I love quote-unquote Americans with IQs of, but well, actually IQs that run between 70 on the Hill in some cases and 140 or whatever, 135. And I've said it before, I would trade a third of America yesterday for hardworking dreamers, international hardworking dreamers that are law-abiding folk. And so just when you think it couldn't get any worse, it's kind of like, I'm wondering now if we're not going to move from, what is that state between heaven and hell that Catholics, what is that called again? I can't remember what it's called. There's a state between heaven and hell, and some Catholics believe in it. Maybe perhaps some don't. But there's an article in today's edition of the Washington Times, the Monday, October 24th edition, obviously, of the Washington Times, by Valerie Richardson, entitled Coordination with Clinton, Greatest Risk on Veritas Videos. Well, probably not in Obama's New America. After all, change actually has come to America. So the kind of change that's good for America, by and large, certainly horrible for America, passing that Congress has pretty much had a gag order placed on it over the course of the last nearly 8 years running. Okay, so she starts out her article. She said, paying agitators to bait... I'm sorry, I have a dog in the background. Paying agitators to bait Trump supporters may be sleazy, but it's unlikely to result in legal trouble for the Democratic operatives caught in the Project Veritas action sting. That's true. That's true, because look, after all, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are above the law. So why would paying agitators to bait Trump supporters be any different in terms of the eye of the law today, so to speak? And then she goes on to say, what may land Democrats in hot water are a number of less noticed conversations on the explosive undercover videos released last week suggesting coordination among the Hillary Clinton campaign, the Democratic National Committee, and pro-Democrat third-party groups. Yeah. That, see, now I understand why so many are calling for the release of hours and hours of unedited footage, because what they can do then is they can point to areas that don't indicate collusion. So, between the Hillary Clinton Foundation, if you will, and so just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, go Hillary Rodham Clinton, the woman that points at a girl in a red bow in a Pennsylvania town hall meeting, whose papa is the leading Democratic official for that particular precinct or county, if you will, and who penned or touched up the question that the young 15-year-old girl in a red bow gave to on a golden platter, on a platinum platter, really, to Hillary Clinton about women and their self-worth and how they view themselves. And I've talked about that before in my programs, and it is an issue. However, having said that, it's so much easier to point to a young woman in a red bow in Pennsylvania than it is Hillary to actually not take money from a Gilbert Chagowry, a billionaire, multi-billionaire out of Nigeria that asked you to keep Boko Haram off of, and I'm not even going to go into Boko Haram today. I've already covered it in the last program, so I'm not going to do that again today. I'm just not. Because if you don't know who Boko Haram is, you probably shouldn't be voting in this election. All right. And perhaps shouldn't have children. And on and on the list goes. All right. So we're looking at, we look at that, right? And then I jump over on the other side of a picture of Detroit Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford and Kerrigan taking kind of a nosedive. He was pretty far away, gave it his best effort to wrap or to even reach Matthew Stafford at that point. And no fault of Kirk Cousins whatsoever in terms of this particular loss. But I won't go there. I'll talk about that on another program. So I jumped over to the right of that photo. And the next article that caught my eye this morning was Election Fraud Happens, But Not Enough to Sway Results, by Tom Howell Jr. I just wanted to say, you know, in most cases it may not be enough to sway results, but it's enough to sway individual voices. And if we're not a nation of individual voices, I'm not sure what we are. You know, if the LGBT community isn't a nation or unto itself of individual voices, I'm not sure what it is. If the Boy Scouts of America is not an organization comprised of like-minded individual voices. I'm not sure what it is either. But we have a deep problem in this nation, a deep, deep, deep problem, because the direction of the nation depends largely, in my opinion, and quite tragically at this point, in my opinion, that I have to have an opinion on this whatsoever. The direction of our nation is such that there are so many people that don't, for whatever reason, Common Core or a list of any other reasons, do not take individual rights seriously enough to die for individual rights, to stand and live and die for individuals and individual voices and individual votes. So I'm afraid we're kind of missing the mark with all of this rhetoric and all of the supposed experts, if you will, in terms of election fraud and, that have come up as of Donald Trump's statements over the course of the last 2 to 3 weeks, or 2 weeks, by and large, and or upwards of 2 weeks now. And anyway, so, you know, collusion is so broad between the next to soulless that one self-appointed Democratic operative could potentially destroy hundreds of mail-in ballots single-handedly based on the fact that he or she is an employee of the federal government, so to speak, in lieu of being a postal service worker. So, we need to take this so seriously that we need to take it almost as seriously as the person that supplied the guns to the San Bernardino devils. Yep. If you are caught destroying mail-in ballots for either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or any write-in candidate, you should be your citizenship, rather, should be revoked immediately and should be tossed out on your head. Yep, I said it. Immediately, you should be tossed out of this nation. Because that's not how we roll as Americans. That's not spiritual Americana, for God's sake. And see, here's another thing that's interesting. We're all so into this, like, oh, we'll wave a flag and fly some fighters over Super Bowl events and over the opening day kickoff with the NFL and the first pitch and MLB and, you know, Miley Cyrus is now on The Voice, and we're just so Americana, aren't we? Aren't we? Yeah, we're just so Americana that we're not able to realize that in essence and for all practical purposes, the one voice that's done away with is basically your own voice, because we are a nation of voices, individual voices. And if you want to go down that slippery slope that lends itself not only to purgatory, but in fact to hell, perhaps, then be my guest. All right. So, So the opening article in the Washington Times is kind of interesting too. I just want to kind of give that a shout out by Carlo Munoz and Guy Taylor. Obama aims to validate war strategy with a victory in Mosul. Yeah, well, he's trying to save face. You know, this is really this is really Mosul round two. And the only reason it was necessary was because we all but pulled out and made it next to impossible for a potentially somewhat fertile egg to be impregnated, so to speak. And, you know, so we have so many problems. this country is not American. Not only not Christians, that was so 8 years ago when the president said that we are no longer a Christian nation. That is so 8 years ago. The birther movement is so, at the very least, 3 years ago, because now we've moved into a stage where people are no longer spiritual Americans, let alone, you know, being totally fine with violence at rallies, for God's sake. I never thought I'd see this day in America. You know, I was born in the late 60s, 67 to be exact, and I just never thought I'd really live to see this day. And interestingly enough, the good folk of America, not to say that there aren't good young people, because there are, there certainly are bright, young, livid Americans, rightfully livid Americans and so forth. But when I say livid, I'm talking about livid on the side of, you know, erring on the side of constitutionalism and constitutionality of actions and so forth. Which brings us back to the program today, Who in America Needs Congress? Okay, so look. Presidents, Republican, Democrat, or otherwise, are often referred to in their last, if not first, term as lame duck presidents, which just means they can't get anything done without the stroke of their pen, by and large, that they may seek to accomplish with a majority-controlled House and Senate. All right, so, you know, the president is pretty upset, you know, that they lost control of, by and large, of two arms of government. And, you know, he sees the Tea Party as the responsible factor in that development that led to his becoming a lame duck president, even though he is a lame goose, for sure. But anyway, so who in America needs Congress any longer? What, you know, you can just find a group of 5% of Americans, or let's say 10% of Americans. I'll be mildly more optimistic if I use 10% of America. Is comprised of actual business owners that decided to think outside the box, perhaps, and create the selfie stick and not be targeted by Wall Street, by the Occupy Wall Street turds. And so I think we just need to look at the fact that we've turned into a lawless nation, and it's been prophesied in the Bible that in the last days good would be referred to as evil and evil would be referred to as good, and I think by and large we're seeing that actually occur under our very nose, so to speak, collective nose. So, but interestingly enough, I've been able to sniff out the fact that couple of things and draw a couple of conclusions. One, Obama isn't the man that he claims to be. Two, we are not a threat, not really a viable threat, at least, to the modern family, America's modern family. And I've discussed that somewhat at length in previous programs, and you can go back and listen to those because they're interesting, to say the least. So, but, you know, when you use the IRS as a lapdog and you sick your lapdog on Tea Party groups rather than stepping up to a mic like a man would and stating, hey, individual voices and groups of individual voices are what we are actually comprised of as all Americans, Democratic or Republican. you know, it's just, this guy's no guts whatsoever, except for when he wants to chase down and strike fear in a Breitbart, or you know, use the Lois Lerner worm to destroy and tie the hands and bankrupt decent, law-abiding, largely responsible business owners. It's so sickening. It is, I don't ever want to become numb to these issues, ever. And so I wanted to talk about that. Now I want to go ahead, let me just go ahead and jump over here to fraud. I wanted to jump into that article again on A10, Alpha 10 of the Washington Times, today's edition of the Washington Times. And it's interesting because the author says, election integrity groups say the number of cases brought by state officials doesn't capture the extent of fraud. Violators must be caught, for one thing, and opposition to voter ID requirements means states don't have checkpoints to spot bad behavior. Okay, now it talks about the election of, or the outcome of an election or elections. Anyway, there's a quote within the article that states, I'm not aware of any widespread fraud in any of the key states in 2008 and 2012. Surely there was no fraud that actually made a difference to the outcome. Here we go. Said Joshua A. Douglas, a law professor at the University of Kentucky who teaches and researches election law. Okay, he said, quote, surely there was no fraud that actually made a difference to the outcome. Well, let me go back to my earlier point. What about the outcome of a nation spiritually that's okay, even if 10% of its people are okay with 5% to 10% of its people are okay with stealing Trump yard signs? And a lot of that just may be the juvenile, I want to be a part of something so bad that I have to be a part of this new group think tank that's looking to pop America's cherry back to back based on the fact of anatomical differences this time alone. And it's interesting because voter ID requirements should be applied to each and every precinct in each and every state. They just should be. James O'Keefe, the third of Project Veritas, is an amazing grassroots agency, if you will, that actually, interestingly enough, has been able in times past to flip everything that the Washington Post primarily has done on its head inside of 2-minute clips, and in terms of all of the Washington Post's work over the course of several years. And I love that. And they're just peeved, man. The Eugene Robinsons of the free world, quote unquote free world, and some of these other blowhards, they're really upset that James O'Keefe isn't a paid staff member of Notorious Crime Ring, in my opinion. It really upsets them. And I can't remember the other guy's name. There's Eugene Robinson, and I'll think of it later perhaps, and I'll state it if I think about it. If not, tough. I don't care. I'll give a rat's arse to Beulah. But voter ID requirements, like I said, you know, in terms of any law-abiding nation, really are a litmus test. And James O'Keefe actually showed up a couple of years back during an interim election, and pretended as though, or claimed that he was Joe Biden and forgot his ID at home, and was allowed through by the poll worker to vote. And the crime would have taken place when he, the actual crime rather than safe space crime, would have taken place when he himself went in and voted under, quote unquote, Mr. Biden's another lapdog. It's only maybe has an IQ of 94, I don't know, but I don't know, I'll give him 100, but in terms of IQ, but anyway, 99, but anyway, the real crime would have taken place when he went in. He's just exposing how dirty this nation, a significant portion of this nation, not the original system and processes, but how ugly and you know, petulant and disgusting, and I don't know, it's just really abhorrent in our opinion, in the opinion of we evil right-wing extremists that want to make sure that even a Democratic vote would never go unaccounted for, because we're just that bad, you know, we're just that evil. So anyway, I'm not going to cover this part too long. I'm going to take this portion of the program. Remember, you can check me out quick online at on Twitter at DOC underscore OTA Lone Star. On Twitter, on Facebook, you can like my page, Dakota Lone Star, DAKOTA Lone Star. And you can check us out online at 40and28.weebly.com. That's 40and28.weebly.com. And I'm going to actually, I use them for a couple of my other sites, and I'm looking forward to becoming a paying member for the umpteenth time with Weebly. I love their platform because I'm not all that techie, but I'm bright enough to dismantle liberalism piece by yummy piece. Yesterday, today, and forevermore in Christ Jesus the Lord. An American just said Christ Jesus the Lord on TV. Can I have my safe space? I'll be back in about 2 minutes. All right, folks, we're right at 10:30. Actually, yes, we are. 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. And 45 minutes outside of our nation's capital. Call number today is 929-477-4090. Who in America Needs Congress was my initial projected commentary, so to speak. But I'm going to move on to a second and perhaps more damning and important portion of this program today. And I wanted to say this, not necessarily not more important, but the underlying factor, kind of the chief cornerstone of voter fraud, scumbags in America. All right. Christianity Their Way. And why can I talk about this? Because this is my program. I'm Dakota Lone Star. Get your own program. Run over to blogtalkradio.com. Jump online and sign up for your free program. You know, you'll receive a 30-minute window. I pay for my two-hour window each as often as I see fit to run a program. But Christianity Their Way. Yeah, that's a problem, folks. And there's another great article in today's Washington Times that I'm going to get to in just a moment. Christianity Their Way. Or the highway. All right. So, and again, that lends itself to the lowest learner worm, and I'm not going to revisit that because I love crushing the lowest learner worm until it's the concept of the lowest learner worm until its entrails are less than that of having been bulldozed or run over by a Mack truck and then bulldozed and whatever, repaid. But Christianity their way, the modern family way. In portion two of today's program, we're going to discuss freedom of religion as defined primarily by the left. Freedom of religion as defined primarily by the left. And freedom of speech, because Mike Huckabee a number of years back, and I'd have to go back and research that, and perhaps someone could give me a call at 929-477-4090 if you have that fact for me. I need a fact checker for my program at this apparent moment in time. But Mike Huckabee, fact, was going to hold a meeting, fact, when he was the governor, I believe, of, I want to say, Arkansas, perhaps, and people flogged the entranceways to and backlogged and flogged and backlogged the entranceways, muscled their minute mindset, diminutive mindset in front of the entrances, and he couldn't hold his meeting. So much for freedom of speech. You know, we've kind of been, you know, the what is it with evolution, the strongest prevail or whatever. Anyway, which is another crock of crap in my individual opinion, but we'll see in the end whose voice speaks louder than swords. Anyway, so their sanctimonious short list of sacred tenets. We could cover a list of the short list, because it really is a short list. Their sanctimonious short list of sacred tenets involves those of individual, by and large, irresponsible women and men and boys, girls and boys, and the, in large part, many others. Or significant others, so to speak, of the modern family. So it's a sanctimonious short list, but today I wanted to talk really quickly about, and this is the segment that I don't want you to miss, this one right here. I used to work for the second leading specialty pharmacy in the nation, and I won't tell you when because that would give away who I worked for, and I worked for them for a week shy of 3 years. And interestingly enough, I received a phone call from a woman that had multiple sclerosis. And said patient said, "Hey, Todd, my name is Sue Smith," and then as an example. I'm just calling to let you know that I no longer, that at this time, I would like for you to suspend shipments of my MS medication, my injectable. And I was like, my first thought was, oh, dear God, why? Don't do that. I want you to take care of yourself because I'm a chauvinist, right? I didn't say that to her. But you know, since we're a middle-aged white guy, just wants to retain power and everything. But my first thought was, wow, this woman doesn't sound like an irresponsible person. Her grammar, not that grammar is the end-all to responsibility, but she was well-spoken and very kind and polite. And I was like, wow, what's going on? You know, like, and she said, yeah, I don't need it. And I was like, you don't need it? Okay, so then my mind began kind of roiling you know, worked itself into overdrive, so to speak. And I was like, wow, is this woman healed? Or, and she said, no, I'm pregnant. And I was like, really? And she said, yeah, when you're pregnant, evidently, and I need my fact checker again, and I deserve a fact checker because my shows are pretty good. And but she said, yeah, when you have MS and you become pregnant, the baby, or the fetus, God forbid I say baby, God forbid I use any lingo that lends itself to the fact that they're just, it's just a stage in human development, each stage, splitting of cells and so forth, but I'm not a scientist, so who am I to speak to that end and the steps prior to that end, but... And so I was thinking, I was like, wow, like that just blew me away, not just for the day, but for the week. And now here I am thinking, oh, I did this. I'm tired too because I put in like 95 hours a week, but because I want a better life rather than crapping on farmers' driveways up in North Dakota because I'm against energy independence to a large degree, and deep water horizon is bad enough, but an above ground pipeline somehow is more dangerous, I guess. But I guess that's where some of these retards come into play. But anyway, I'm sorry. I apologize. I do apologize for calling you retards. I'm sorry. Retarded growth. Retarded in your thinking. Something stands in the way, and I'm not sure what it is, but I think it's all the voices in your head. So really, I probably misclassified disproportionately a category of people and you're probably just schizophrenic because of all the voices in your head. You're not able to shut off the voices for 5 minutes. And if that's the case, then you probably shouldn't be voting either. Anyway. So I got that call, and it has me thinking again this morning, thankfully, about, the baby, the unborn infant child, human of the human variety, that gives something flows back through the umbilical cord, I'm pretty upset right now. I want to say something. There's a reverse flow through the umbilical cord, imbeciles, that provided that woman with something that she no longer needed her medication. Furthermore, I just read an article recently again that spoke to the possibility that when a pregnant mother's having a heart attack, the child again produces something that protects the mother from the obvious and not so obvious, probably even most likely even if we're just learning this now, even the not so obvious individual conclusions to a heart attack in terms of damage and so forth. So Christianity, their way. It's interesting. Liberal Democrats, cracks, that's really what they are. Liberal Democrats speak to unfettered access. And if you watch the vice presidential debate at all between Timothy Kaine, and the Honorable Mike Pence, both white guys, so I guess I can be a bigoted there, right? Again, some things impeding your growth as a human being or ability to think. I'm not quite sure whether it's schizophrenia, groupthink, to the extent of being a cult or not. But sorry, the cultish of you, the way you act and think and speak, and your morning after pill is a direct revelation or mirrors your spectacular sense of responsibility, quote unquote. All right, so liberal Dems speak to unfettered access and absolute individualism. Individualism as it relates to freedom of religion where pro-choice is concerned. Christianity, their way, not where pro-life is concerned. Get it? Liberal Dems speak to unfettered access and absolute individualism as it relates to freedom of religion where pro-choice is concerned. Christianity, their way. But not where an individual business owner that wants to kind of follow the Bible in its entirety. See, that's the crux of our separation in America. And the president was right. We are no longer a Christian nation. As a matter of fact, the modern family has hijacked many a pulpit when they should have been, been creative and began creating their own institutions and churches and scouting organizations. But the, our battle is as tough as the battle that African Americans face. Yeah, right, whatever. Your battle is as tough as the battle of the Honorable Martin Luther King Jr. Come on, man. All right. So let me get into this article quickly by Mr. Paul Kangor in the Washington Times, again out of today's edition of Washington Times, because there's a couple of great things. He's talking about Hillary's faith, and that's the title of his article, Hillary's Faith in God and Roe She Trusts, which is an amazing, amazing byline, so to speak. But Mr. Kangor said in his article, she continued with this telling line, the government has no business in the decisions that women make with their families in accordance with their faith. Tell that to Lois Lerner and the oft-beloved number 44 and the Lois Lerner worm and the false imprisonment of and double jeopardy of an Egyptian-born Coptic Christian and the name of Nakula best-selling Nakula that was leaned upon heavily. Why? Because he could. Yes, you can. Yes, we can. Yes, you can. Yes, we can. Yes, you can. Yeah, right. Whatever, you idiot. It's like, because you can. You can lean on an Egyptian-born Coptic Christian that makes a video. Why? Because it's obviously, and I'm being facetious here, obviously was cause enough for actual savagery 2 weeks to the day prior to, prior to or post 9/11. Anyway, or on 9/11, 2012, Benghazi. But that was so 2 years ago, you heartless funks. See, here's what's interesting. I would rather, and it's so funny because I work with a family, interestingly enough, who, this is really interesting. I work with a family that was pretty troubled by the show of hands at an early Trump rally. And interestingly enough, the Washington Post, and I'd love to have get my hands on that article and just have it framed or, take it in and have it, placed between plastic sheets, so to speak, and kept for a rainy day. But there were people that actually sought counseling based on a Washington Post article concerning the show of hands, the Trump rally, and the Nazi gesture, quote unquote, in terms of their mindset, if you will. And this is where their cult scares me so much because if that was so 2 years ago, a Democratic operative speaking on behalf of, certainly not on behalf of the next of kin of four families and Benghazi, where Benghazi was related, but he's like, that was so 2 years ago. And evidently Hillary is allegedly bored about Benghazi now too, but quite sure this Christmas it may not be any easier for the mothers of the deceased to hang Christmas ornaments or Jewish ornaments or atheist ornaments or pagan ornaments even, which is all fine and dandy if you're American, which it totally is. It actually is. As long as you're not ever, ever, ever willing to be violent with someone that opposes you fundamentally in terms of his or her worldview. See, that's the kicker. It's interesting because a significant percentage of Sharia shanks are so quick to swing the sword or pull the trigger. So it kind of begs the question within urban America even, you're so quick as trigger men, how many steps are you removed from radical Islamic jihadism and Farrakhan and Farrakhan's Million Man March and so forth? And there are distinct differences between many of those in your communities in urban America as well that are leading godly lives and so forth. But I just thought that was interesting to quote Hillary Clinton, the government has no business in the decisions that women make with their families in accordance with their faith. Let's do this. Let's substitute a couple of words, shall we? Let's play a word game for a second. I'm stating the government has no business in the decisions that business owners make of any persuasion or anatomical differences with their families and businesses in accordance with their faith. Okay, so I want to read another couple of quotes out of this article, and then I'm going to close up today's program because we're coming down. Interestingly enough, I scheduled this program for 2 hours, but I'm going to close it out earlier, folks. Why? Because I can. Why? Because it doesn't matter whether you can or not. I hold the phone, and I'm going to hang up in just a few minutes here. Unless I get a call, of course, at 929-477-4090. And I'm going to sound like a puker for a moment. But that's fun anyway. But occasionally, once in a blue moon. Okay, so Mr. Kingor went on to say, I have no doubt, and this is powerful, folks, and this perhaps is the litmus test for two Americas, the argument for two Americas, at least. Kinger writes, or types, rather, typed. I have no doubt that Hillary feels that someday she'll be able to stand before her Savior. And that's true because these people claim Christianity, so Christianity automatically implies the need for a Savior, and I absolutely need one as well. But I believe I've found him in Jesus Christ, the Lord God, Elohim. An individual, I can't do that any longer. You just got to come in and break that up. It's just a monopoly, Modern Family. But I have no doubt that Hillary feels that someday she'll be able to stand before her Savior and make the case that she did what she thought was right because she was seeking to save women's lives via legal abortion. Yep, irrespective of the 60 million unborn victims of Roe v. Wade. That is such an amazing, powerful statement. Thank you very much, Paul Kinger. I'm going to follow you on Twitter soon. But in a succinct manner, it's interesting because Kinger drops the hammer once again in a more succinct manner. Hillary is far from alone in that belief among the religious left. Do a Google search on the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice. This is it right here. This is succinct power. It's an entire organization of left-wing believers who seem to think that the Creator would approve of Roe v. Wade. The Creator. I love his usage of a term there. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. See, there are two spirits that have gone out into the world, and we'll find out if I'm wrong. I mean, am I either right or wrong? The world's not going to stop spinning on its axis, except for global warming, right? Because you guys are so strong, you know, this brave new world that you've created, are in the process of creating. But so here's my belief. Here's Dakota's two cents. Dakota's take to end the day, if you will. Inside of an hour left in today's program. Dakota's take, and then I'm going to give out the websites again and social media and so forth. But here's my take, my 10 cents worth, 2 cents worth, if you will. There are two spirits gone out into the world. One of construction and one of destruction. One of production and one of otherwise. One of creation and one of destruction, I could pretty much end it there. Let's see. I'm pretty sure I could go on and on and on with that. All right, Dakota Lone Star on Twitter at @DOC_OTA Lone Star. All right, on Twitter at @DOC_OTA Lone Star. Interesting age in which we find ourselves. We've kind of motored up to this somewhere between 1967 and now. I'm sure that I've dropped the ball too in terms of my portion of the responsibility in some cases, but I'm doing my best now to create The Best America, The Good Altar, which is a documentary that I'm working on right now. All right, take care. Dakota Lone Star on Facebook, DAKOTA, space Lone Star. And remember to check us out online and get involved at 40and28.weebly.com. God save America.